Thank you for joining us online again this week. These times that we are separated from one another physically make us long for those times when we can come back together and see each other face to face once again. In the meantime, we want to do everything that we can to encourage community. Even if we are physically apart from one another, we still want that community that Christ brings us together for. And so this morning, we're coming together. We're doing a live stream so that we can have community together as the body of Christ. This morning, as we open up God's Word, we're going to be looking at the book of Deuteronomy. And so I would encourage you to pull out your Bibles and to be following along with us in the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to be looking in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have. We know that there are many important decisions that our government leaders and our world leaders need to be making in order to keep us safe and to protect us. Father, I pray that you would give them wisdom, give them guidance in all of these decisions that they are making. I pray, Father, that you would help us as your people to be continuing to pray for our leaders and helping them to make the decisions that are critical. We pray for safety. We pray just that you would help protect us from this coronavirus that's going around and that you would help us to be trusting you in the midst of this. For those who are afflicted with the coronavirus, we certainly pray for healing for them. We pray that you might help them to recover quickly. And for those who are mourning losses, we pray that you would bring peace and comfort. And we thank you that you are a God of peace and comfort, even in these times where we are, again, physically separated. We thank you that you are still have the promise to be with us. We pray, Father, for this time that we have to open up your word, to study the book of Deuteronomy. We pray, God, that you would give us wisdom. Help us to listen like the people of Israel listened to Moses and were encouraged by his words. We pray, Father, that your words would encourage us even today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living in an unprecedented time. Maybe you've heard that word, unprecedented, a little too much this past week. And while it may be used a little too frequently, it is certainly true. This is an unprecedented time. In our lifetimes, we've never had to give up as many freedoms as we are having to give up right now in order to care for one another. We saw many changes to our freedoms after 9/11. But now our freedoms are even more restricted. We are being asked to stay in our homes as much as possible in order to keep this virus from spreading to other people. Other people may be more vulnerable than we are, and so we are asked to stay home so that those who are vulnerable will not catch this COVID-19 virus. It seems a little backwards. The most loving act that we can do is to stay away from one another. In times of need, we often just want to rush out. We want to do something. We want to go out to help our neighbors. But for this trial, we're told the opposite. Instead of rushing out, stay in. Stay put. For Pearl Harbor, for 9/11, other tests, our nation mobilized. We got to work. And for this crisis, people are being put out of work. It's causing some people to panic, to live in fear. And I hope that during this last week and perhaps the weeks to come, that you will look to God, find your trust and your hope in Him. John Welborn, who is the pastor at Salem Evangelical Free Church here in Staten Island, wrote this week, "In times like these, we must not isolate ourselves from God or from one another. We must not relationally isolate." That is great advice. We must be staying together as much as we can. And in this time of fear, we also hear from the Apostle Paul that this is not a time of fear. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a power of love and self-control. For the church, we believe in the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is good news. So in the midst of fear and panic, We trust the gospel. We trust the good news about Jesus Christ. These restrictions on our freedoms that we are experiencing right now, thankfully, those restrictions are only temporary. We don't know exactly how long these restrictions are going to be put in place, but in the midst of everything, we must put our confidence in God. We know that He will see us through. As we go into the stores, we're seeing more crowds. We see empty shelves where there used to be just endless supplies. Maybe you haven't been able to purchase the things that you're normally purchasing when you go to the stores. We've had the luxury of even having our special brands that we go. We go to the stores and there's multiple brands and we have this brand that we purchase. And now we're just buying any brand that we can find on the shelves. Again, this is not a reason to fear. There are reasons, these are reasons to keep our eyes on God, who is our provider. He is the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the hills. And so He will provide for our needs. And that is our hope. That is our confidence. In these last weeks, our world has changed. Our retirement accounts have changed. Our jobs have changed. And so much of what we are used to has now become unpredictable. And even though things are unpredictable, our God is unchanging. This pandemic was not a surprise to God. While medical professionals are working tirelessly to figure this virus out and try to help us in our recovery, God already knows everything about this virus. God knows when we are going to be able to resume our normal activities. But for now, this is a time of transition for all of us. And this time of transition includes churches as well. For now, we are not able to gather as the church, at least not physically. We're not able to come together as the assembled body of Christ. And so we are trying to figure out ways that we can meet together, at least virtually, so that we are not in isolation, so that we can come together and participate in one another's spiritual growth. Thursday night, we had a little test connection using Zoom. We had 18 connections, so about 25 people or so that were connected online. It's definitely not the same as being together physically, but it was great to be able to see one another face-to-face. Marty and Lee, who have not been able to come very much to our building and our assembly physically, were able to join in online, and it was great being able to see one another, even if it was on a screen and separated just physically, but it was good to see one another for a short time. Churches are facing transitions like this. Churches may have been resistant to changing their methods or their traditions, and now they're being forced to look at new ways. How do we get the gospel message, the good news, out into a world that is hurting? We need the good news in public arenas. And so at this time, there are churches that are really changing how we do digital communication. And we're finding that we can care and love for people even in a digital means. And so churches are mobilizing for the purpose of ministry and outreach in a digital world. As we are talking about these transitions that are taking place in our world, we are also looking at transitions that take place in the Bible. We've been reading through Bethel through the Bible, the chronological plan from Genesis to Revelation, and our reading this week took us through the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy means second law, but this book is not really a second law. That name, Deuteronomy, comes from a mistranslation of Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18. In Deuteronomy 17, 18, the Greek was translated from the Hebrew, so it went from Hebrew to Greek, and they mistranslated it as a second law. But really, it says a copy of the law. And so that is how we got our name, Deuteronomy. This book of Deuteronomy wraps up Moses' ministry to the Hebrew people. The book is essentially Moses' final address to the people of Israel. The nation of Israel is again on the edge of the promised land. And this time, it's a next generation of people. This next generation of Israelites stands ready to enter into the promised land. The last time that Israel stood at this point was 40 years earlier. The parents of this generation They had rejected God's plan. Despite all of the miracles that they had seen God perform, they were trusting in themselves. They didn't trust in God who was going to enable them to get into the promised land. And so God rejected that generation. God would not allow them to enter into the promised land. Now, here we are, 40 years later, it's a new generation, and this new generation has the opportunity to obey God instead of rejecting him. Moses' life, his ministry, are all coming to an end at this point. Moses is 120 years old. God already told him that he would not be the person to lead this nation into this promised land, that Joshua would be the one to do that. At the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses recounts some of what God has done. The middle of the book is a reminder to the people of the commands that God has given them. And then the end of the book is readying the people so that they can be ready to enter into the promised land. It readies them for the future. This generation of Israel faced the same challenges that their parents faced. There's a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey, but there are giants in the land. There are other nations that are stronger and more powerful and more numerous than the nation of Israel. So how will this next generation of Israel face these challenges? Are they going to go in trusting God to get them through? Or are they going to be faithless like their parents were? We are not very familiar with the book of Deuteronomy, but Jesus was very familiar with this book. While on earth, Jesus quoted the book of Deuteronomy more than any other book. And when Jesus faces temptation, every time he responds with a quotation from the book of Deuteronomy. So how would knowing the book of Deuteronomy help us to resist sin and to pursue righteousness? Well, anytime we become more familiar with God's word, whether it is Deuteronomy or whether it's any other book of the Bible, whenever we understand more of God's word, that is a great thing that helps us to resist sin and helps us to pursue a righteous life. One of the themes that comes up in the book of Deuteronomy is the theme of obedience. The Lord has given his people the law. He has given them his commands. So will the people obey? How will they respond to God's commands? Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform, so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, so that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. See all the commandments in those verses. So Moses is encouraging the Israelites in their obedience. They do not have to obey in order to earn God's favor. God's already shown them amazing blessings. Time after time, they've experienced God's blessing on their life. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. They haven't had to change shoes. God allowed their shoes to persevere, to not wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. When they were hungry, God gave them bread. When they were thirsty, God gave them water to drink. When they were asking for meat, God gave them meat. God's favor has been on them time and time again. And as Moses is encouraging the people to obey, it's really their obedience that shows their faith in God. So, Lord, because I trust you, because I trust that you will get me through, then I will obey your commandments. I will obey what you have told me to do. We can measure our faith and our confidence in the Lord by how we obey God's commandments. God has been good to the people of Israel time and time again, even though they were rebellious, even though they had complained, even though they wanted their own way. God has been very, very good to these people. They didn't have to earn God's favor. God gave them the blessings. And so there's a promise that these blessings will continue for generations when they obey. Skip down to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 39 through 40. Deuteronomy 4, 39 through 40. Know therefore today, and take it to your heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. So you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I am giving to you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, that you may live long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. So you are obeying his commandments, his statutes, his commandments. God is going to continue to bless faithful people. God will not only bless you, but God will bless your children after you. That is God's promise that he gave to the people of Israel. And one of our Awana verses this year, let me see if I can remember it, comes from this section. It's Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. That verse tells us that God is faithful. And it tells us that our responsibility is to obey. So we have to keep his commandments. God can keep this promise to 1,000 generations because we serve an eternal God. We serve a God who is unchanging. And he has shown his character by blessing Israel. He will continue to show himself over and over through his blessings. Israel shows their faith in God. They show their commitment to God by obeying God's commandments. Much of Deuteronomy is this reminder, obey the Lord, obey his commandments. How many times do we introduce problems into our lives because we fail to obey God's instructions? Sometimes we just continue the problems because we fail to obey God's commandments. God's word is clear. We know what we're supposed to do. We know what it means to obey. And yet, instead of obeying God, we do what we want to do. We sin against God. And then we wonder, well, why is God not blessing us? Why is it that God seems so absent? Where is God? Because we haven't obeyed. Sometimes we can focus so much on obedience, and we don't really acknowledge the difficulty that can come in obedience. We don't approach obedience rationally. Sometimes it's, you know, well, there's this way that's obedience, and there's this way that is disobedience. Well, of course, I am going to always choose obedience. And so we can have these rational thoughts, but so many times we choose disobedience instead of obedience. And this comes because we can be fearful. We're afraid of something. And sometimes we know that obedience is going to be a harder path because God is expecting more of us. And obedience can make life difficult. For the people of Israel, for this new generation, obeying God is going to be a challenge. They will face significant challenges when they choose to obey. They are right now on the east side of the Jordan River. As soon as they cross the Jordan River to go into the Promised Land, they're going to face the city of Jericho. This is the city that is known for its walls. This is the city known for being impenetrable. And that's the challenge that this generation of Israel is going to face as soon as they cross the Jordan River. Will Israel choose to obey God? Will they choose to trust God and show their trust by their obedience? Or are they going to cave to fear? Is that what they're going to do? Are they going to give up and just wonder where God is? That's what we see another theme in the book of Deuteronomy. This is the theme of courage. It's one thing to be told to obey, but it's another thing to be encouraged to obey. At the end of Deuteronomy, Moses is telling the people time and time again to take courage. So look at Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 and 2. So Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. He said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go. And the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. This is a sad time for the people of Israel. They're sad because they're losing their leader. Moses, who has led them for decades, will die before they enter into the Promised Land. This is sad for Moses, knowing that the purpose of his life has been for God to use him in leading the people into the Promised Land. But because of his sin, he's not going to be able to enter into the land. So at this point, there's an opportunity for everyone to be sad, to be discouraged, to be afraid. It's a time of transition. There's so many unknowns, but it's also a time to trust God more than ever. And Moses gives them these words, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 3 through 5. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. The Lord will do to them just as he did with Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Again, some of the obedience there. There's the promise that God is going to go before you. God's going to use Joshua. The Lord will bring victory to you. So there's fear and there's uncertainty, but keep looking to God. Even though our circumstances are changing, God has not changed. These words could be written for us today, here in March of 2020. We're not looking to conquer nations, but we certainly do face a lot of uncertainty. We know that the news is changing every day about this virus that we are facing. And here's an incredible promise that God gives to the people of Israel. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. What a comfort to know that God is already on the other side. As we read this, we go, we know that God is already on the other side of this pandemic that we are facing. We don't have to question, where is God in all of this? He is right here with us, and he has gone before us. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. This is the message the people of Israel needed to hear. They needed to hear this message time and time again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. The people of Israel needed to hear this message, but Joshua also needed to hear this message. Verses 7 and 8. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So not only is Moses telling the people to be strong and courageous, Moses tells Joshua the same thing. Just because Joshua is God's appointed leader does not mean that Joshua is unafraid, that he has no fear. Joshua has just as much fear as the people do. Think about being the leader who has to follow Moses. Moses led these people for decades. He talked to God face to face. He has to follow Moses. That is a huge calling. And here's Moses saying, be strong, be courageous. Moses has to tell Joshua, Moses has to tell the people, be strong and courageous. And their strength, their courage does not come from within them. It's not that they're psyching themselves up and, oh yeah, we can do this and rallying, let's go. Their strength, their courage rests in the fact that the Lord is with them and the Lord will go before them. Do you think the people of Israel needed to hear those words? The Lord is with you. He will go before you. Do you think the people today need to hear those words as well? That we need to hear those words. In a world filled with 24/7 news and every hour talking about this virus, we can become a fearful people. We can hear messages that cause us to lack hope. And we need this message, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is the one who goes before you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Friday night, Kim and I were talking, and Kim mentioned the fear that these hospitalized patients must be feeling. You hear the stories from doctors who are trying to decide who gets treatment and who is left to die because of a lack of supplies. And those who are dying isolated, away from all of their family, away from all of their friends. They are surrounded by strangers, doctors and nurses who are caring for them, but there's no family with them because they're stranded outside, they're isolated outside. So in this time of desperate need to be with someone, there's no family around. As Christians, we have amazing promises of God's presence with us. Be strong and courageous. The Lord your God is the one who goes before you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. We have people who are dying every day from virus or from cancer, from car accidents, from any number of reasons. And most of these people are dying separated from the hope that God offers. They are left to face fear and anxiety on their own. For the Christian, we know that even in isolation, we are not alone. We have no reason to be anxious or fearful. God is with us. God will be with us, and He will go before us. How do we communicate that hope and that confidence in the Lord to a world that is isolated from us, a world that does not have this hope that we have? For the next few weeks, at least, the church's methods must change. But the message is still the same. Our only hope is Jesus Christ. So how do we, in this time of isolation, show love to our neighbors? How do we help them in looking to Christ? For those who are able, we make ourselves available to run errands for those who are most vulnerable. If you're not able, prayer is another incredibly valuable tool. Whether you're able or not able to go do these errands, prayer is an essential part of our ministry to a world around us. We can connect with people using technology. People who are feeling lonely and isolated, use technology with phone calls, with text, FaceTime. We had a call on Tuesday night again, or a Thursday night, using Zoom. Several people from church, we were just testing it out. Create a Zoom link and share it with those who are feeling vulnerable and afraid, and help them to create community with us. We're going to try to do that again this week, so be watching your email, trying to connect again to one another as the church. But we can also use this time to share that link with others who might be fearful and feeling vulnerable. And we can share with them the hope that Christ has given us, that we know that the Lord is with us and that He goes before us. And so even though we are socially distant from one another, we share the hope that we have in Christ with those who need that hope. Let me leave you with words of comfort and courage from the Lord Jesus. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have made promises to be with your people, that you will go before your people. I thank you that you are unchanging. In our world that is constantly changing, it is so different than it was just a couple of weeks ago. I thank you that you are still the same. I thank you that you are still on your throne. And I thank you that you are still a God who promises to help us in our time of need. Father, we look to you. Help us to find courage and strength in you. We are not trusting our president or world leaders or hospital staff or doctors and nurses. We are trusting you. Please help us to get through. Help us to be safe. We pray, Father, just for your guidance, your protection. And we pray for a lost world that is trying to find hope somewhere. Use us to point them to Christ, the hope that we have in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Thank you that we can be full of courage because you give us that courage. And we thank you for all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.